السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله رب العالمين الذي خلق الأفلاك والأرضين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المدثر قم فأنذر، صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الأمين الكريم. ایک مرتبہ نہایت عقیدت کا اظہار کرتے ہوئے رسول اکرم سرور کائنات صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کی بارگاہ میں درود شریف کا نذرانہ پیش کریں. اللہم صلی علی سیدنا و نبینا و مولانا محمد معدن الجود والکرم و منبع العلم والحلم والحکم و علی آلہ و صحبہ و بارک وسلم. The savior of mankind, the final prophet and messenger of Allah, Sayyidul Anbiya wa Sayyidul Mursaleen, Sayyiduna Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, at the age of 40 receives the first revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we ponder over this, if we ponder upon this for a moment, then there is great wisdom in the plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the best of all planners. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ensured that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lived for 40 years amongst the people, showing his character, expressing his beauty, and making them believe in the fact that he sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a perfect role model for all human beings. After spending 40 years establishing this into the people, not only in Makkah Mukarramah, but also by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam traveling to Syria, to Basra or Busra, as it is known in the Mulk e Sham, it had become widespread that this man, Sayyiduna Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alaihi wasallam, was the most perfect human being, and it was also widespread that he is to one day announce his prophethood, because he possesses all the signs that were mentioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the previous scriptures. Now, if we ponder upon this, amongst the Bani Israel, it was common for a prophet and a messenger to come with a wahi, a revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Messengers and prophets would come one after the other. And therefore it was common and acceptable for the Jews and Christians that a person is chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or is sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a messenger, and Allah reveals his wahi upon that person. But this mission that was designated to Sayyiduna Afdalul Anbiya Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam was that he was not to be sent specifically amongst the Bani Israel, but he was to receive his revelation and begin to spread his message from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Arab world, in Makkah, which was known as the most harshest part of the earth. The people of the Arab world were known as the most stone-hearted people of that time. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was to be given revelation, not in a place where people would have easily accepted his message, but in a place where it was the hardest for him to propagate and deliver his message from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani this mission that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had before him was a mission that was harder than any other mission that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave to any prophet or messenger. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself said that he who is most dear to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala receives the most hardships in this world. Allah tests him with trials and tribulations, with hardship. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that I am the most dear to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from all of his creation, and therefore the most hardships I have had to face. I have had to face more hardships, I have had to face more trials and tribulations than any other man. And now at the age of 40, all the preparation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made by creating this world, the aflaq and the ardeen, the skies and the heavens and the earth, everything that was adorned in this world for that mission was to begin. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the verses, اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق, upon Sayyiduna Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in that time of jahiliyyah, in that time of ignorance, where people were against education, where people were against knowledge, where people were against teaching, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the first verses, كَأَلَّذِي عَلَّمَ بِالْقَلَمِ, he who taught man, he who taught with the pen, عَلَّمَ الْإِنسَانَ مَا لَمْ يَعْلَمْ, he who taught man that which he did not know. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's first revelation was teaching man that knowledge is important. Teaching and learning is of utmost importance. That was the first message that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala received, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent upon the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, giving this ideology and giving this mentality that this time of jahiliyyah, this time of ignorance, is to be eradicated through this wahi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and knowledge is to be spread widespread amongst the people, and people are to be taught how to read and write and learn knowledge and wisdom. That was the first message. Now it is logical to understand that if Allah was to choose and make his messenger, the prophet upon whom he reveals these verses, uneducated and ignorant, it wouldn't make sense. And therefore, without doubt, it is according to logic and the nature of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given knowledge to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He sallallahu alaihi wasallam knew how to read, he knew how to write, he sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the most wise amongst them. If he did not have knowledge, it would not have made sense that he would deliver a message to the people to eradicate ignorance when he would be ignorant himself. And this is why Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala says, ke aisa ummi kis liye minnat kashe ustad ho, aisa ummi kis liye minnat kashe ustad ho, kya kifayat usko iqra wa rabbukal akram nahi, which means that why would this messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, why would this man who is the greatest of all men, why would this man who is superior above all other creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be humble in front of a teacher, or have to humble himself in front of a teacher? Is it not enough that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was teaching himself by saying iqra, read, I am teaching you? When Allah is the teacher of Sayyiduna Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then why would he need another teacher in this world? And that is what ummi means for the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he was taught only and solely by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Up to the extent that Orientalists, the European Western people, when they started reading the history of Islam, they started raising objections against Islam. From amongst them, one of their objections was that Jibreel alayhi salam was the teacher of Sayyiduna Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was the one who would come and teach Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Quran. He was appointed as a teacher of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But when the ulama Islam, when they picked up the books of hadith, they found that Jibreel alayhi salam used to come to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to deliver the wahi from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And at times the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say, Ki ariftu, araftu, I have understood, or fahimtu, I have understood, or I have come to know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is delivering. And Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam would say, Ya Rasulullah, how do you know? For I have not understood what Allah has revealed upon you. Which clearly shows that Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam was a messenger to bring the wahi from Allah to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but not the teacher of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For the teacher of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam was only and solely Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In Bukhari Sharif, narrated by Sayyida Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha, she says that once it was asked to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ki kaifa ya'tika al-wahy? O Messenger of Allah, how does wahi come upon you? How does this revelation come to you from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ki ahyanan ya'tini mithla salsalatil jaras? That sometimes the wahi from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes to me in the sound of bells ringing. In the sounds of ringing bells. When metal strikes metal, the sound of bells occurs. And that is the sound I used to receive when the wahi used to begin. And then he says, فَيُفْصَمُ أَنِّي, that message would first appear to me as unclear. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would make it so clear upon me that it would be stamped in my heart and in my mind, the verses that Allah had revealed upon me. And he says that I would have absolutely no doubt left that these are the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Jibreel alayhi salam would, then that would leave from me. So this was one way how in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would directly send wahi without the means of Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam. So in this manner, wahi would come to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam without a messenger in between, without Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam intermediating. This was direct wahi from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then, so what used to happen is that the wahi first would appear in the sound of bells ringing. And that is why when you hear the Quran, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, you get that sound similar to the ringing of bells. And that is the way the Quran was revealed upon the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And it would be stamped in his mind and heart such that it could not be removed anymore. And he would know with certainty that this is the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that sometimes this wahi would come with a malak from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, an angel from Allah, and that would be Sayyiduna Jibreel alayhi salam. That Jibreel alayhi salam would bring the message from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now this clearly shows that sometimes the wahi came directly and sometimes it came through Sayyiduna Jibreel alayhi salam, which clearly shows that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would directly teach Sayyiduna Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he did not need Jibreel alayhi salam to deliver that message and teach him that message. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in other narrations has also mentioned that sometimes it would come as a ru'ya saliha. A ru'ya saliha would be whereby the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would be resting. People who would see the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they would think that he is sleeping. But the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never used to sleep. They use the word he was sleeping, but his sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's heart would be awake. His eyes would be closed, but his heart, it would not sleep. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would remain awake. And that is why, if you pick up the books of fiqh, you will find that when a person goes to sleep, lying down where his body limbs are resting, his wudu breaks, his ablution breaks. But the wudu of Sayyidina Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never used to break by sleeping. It never used to break because he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would be resting, but he would not be sleeping. When a person sleeps, he becomes ghafil. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would not become ghafil. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would at times reveal wahi upon him directly whilst he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was lying down resting. There are 6 or 7, according to different narrations, and ikhtilaf amongst the ulama, 6 or 7 different ways that wahi used to be revealed upon the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sometimes the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would himself go into Lamaka and meet with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and receive wahi directly from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this was the manner in which wahi used to come to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And remember, Sayyida Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha, when she is narrating this hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she says that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that when the wahi used to come directly in the form of salsalatul jaras or mithla salsalatil jaras, with the sound of bells ringing, ashadduhu alayya, that was the most severe and hardest form in which the wahi of Allah would reveal upon me. And Sayyida Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha, she says that I have seen wahi reveal upon the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in that manner, in the manner of salsalatul jaras. And I would see that it was the season of cold. It would be cold weather, and we would sit covering ourselves with plenty of clothes to keep us warm, and he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would not be covered with a lot of clothes. He would be normal. But suddenly when that wahi would come upon him in that cold weather, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would start sweating on his forehead. He would start sweating and feel this heat, this pressure of this Quran being revealed upon the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Sahaba ikram would say that when we would see that sweat on his blessed forehead, it was as though pearls were falling from the blessed forehead, from the blessed beautiful forehead of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So you can imagine how much hardship the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went through. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لو أنزلنا هذا القرآن على جبل لرأيته خاشعا متصدعا من خشية الله. That if we were to reveal this Quran on a mountain, then that mountain would burst into pieces and appear and disappear as dust in the air. That is how heavy and weightful and strong this wahi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. And from that you can imagine how strong the blessed qalb, the heart of Sayyidina Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam must have been. A sahabi was once sitting right next to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His knee was just touching the blessed knee of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Such was their destiny that they used to have that closeness to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. While he was sitting with his knee just touching the blessed knee of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says that suddenly wahi began to reveal upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he says that if that verse of the Quran that was revealed in regards to gathering guns, in regards to gathering gold and silver and hoarding wealth, that verse was revealed, if it was slightly longer, then I think my knee would have burst. My knee would have burst. That is how harsh and strong that wahi used to be. And that is why it is mentioned in some narrations that the shaqq sadr, when the heart of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was removed from his chest and washed with the water of Zamzam and placed back into his chest, it happened before the wahi was revealed as well. According to some narrations, this happened the second time before the first wahi was revealed upon the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to strengthen and prepare that heart for the first revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the form of Iqra' bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. Now, and this shaqq-e sadr, according to research, scholars like Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti, Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala an, they have researched and said that the correct opinion is that it happened 4 times. The shaqq-e sadr happened 4 times, whereby Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had the chest of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam open, his blessed heart removed, and then his blessed heart was washed with the water of Zamzam, in order to show the exaltedness and the stature and the honor of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not need malaika. Allah doesn't need malaika to bring the rain down. Allah doesn't need malaika to provide the rizq and rozi. Allah doesn't need malaika to punish the people in their graves and in the fire of hell. Allah doesn't need all of this. But He has this in order to show His greatness, to show His honor. If Allah wants, kun fayakun. All He says is kun and it happens. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has set this system of all these malaika to show His greatness, to show His kingdom. In the same way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had already created Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as the most powerful and the most perfect creation. So He did not need His heart to be washed and removed, but had this done simply to show the greatness and to show the honor of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now when this wahi had been revealed upon the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the first time when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes to the home of Sayyida Khadija radiallahu anha, his home, and he says, Zammiluni, Zammiluni, because he was feeling extremely cold. Sayyida Khadija radiallahu anha covered him. And then the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told her what happened and what I mentioned yesterday. And then she took the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to the house of Waraqa bin Nawfil. When they come to the house of Waraqa bin Nawfil, Waraqa bin Nawfil is an expert of the previous books, the previous testaments, the previous scriptures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He used to translate the Bible from the Ibrani language into the Arabic language for the Arabs, to tell them that this is the message of Allah. And the message of Allah says that a final prophet will come from amongst you people, O Quraysh, O the people of Makkah. For that reason, so he was in search and waiting for that final prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now, when Sayyida Khadija has comforted the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and took him to the house of Sayyida Khadija radiallahu anha, Sayyida Khadija radiallahu anha tells Waraqa bin Nawfil of what happened with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is mentioned in the hadith of Bukhari Sharif that I was mentioning yesterday, narrated by Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha. Waraqa bin Nawfil says to Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that you tell me exactly what you saw. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells Waraqa exactly what happened in the Ghar Hira, in the Mount Hira, in the cave of the Mount Hira. When he finishes, Waraqa bin Nawfil says, "Tehada al-namus alladhi nazzal Allahu ala Musa." This is the very same namus, and by namus he means the malak, the angel. This is the very same angel who came upon Sayyiduna Musa alayhi salam, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent upon Sayyiduna Musa alayhi salam. This is a angel that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent to you, and you are the Khatamul Anbiya wal Mursaleen, and you are the final prophet, you are the seal of the prophethood and the messengership of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Waraqa bin Nawfil said to him that, how I wish I was a young man, because Waraqa was an old man at that time. And it says in that narration that Waraqa had become blind, he could not see anymore. He could not see anymore, yet he still used to write the Bible from his mind. Yani he had memorized the Bible, the Old Testament and the previous scriptures. That is how well versed he was in the previous scriptures. He had become blind, he was an old man. So he says, how I wish, ya laytani, how I wish kuntu jaz'an, I was a young man, then I would have supported you when your people throw you out of Makkah Mukarramah, from your home. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Awa mukhrijihum, will they throw me out of my own home?" Waraqa bin Nawfil replied that no man has come before you as a prophet and a messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but he has been driven out of his home by the people. He has been driven out of his home by his own people. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam listens to Waraqa and gets an understanding of exactly what was happening at that time through Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam. Waraqa comforts the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this manner. And he tells him that they will throw you out of your home, but you will return to Makkah as a Fatih. You will conquer Makkah because you will be accepted all throughout the Arab world, and you will be given great victory by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then you will return back to your home. And then Waraqa did not live for long. Waraqa bin Nawfil didn't live for long. When the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was ordered to start announcing his prophethood, Waraqa had not lived for that long. So Waraqa bin Nawfil, he died before the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned or ordered the people to accept the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, we also understand from this that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had started to receive the wahi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but Allah had not yet ordered the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to announce to the people that he is the Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they need to accept his message. Not yet. But wahi had started to be revealed. Now a question arises, that why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not send the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a farishta, as a malak, as an angel? Why did Allah send him as a human being? Because these hardships that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went through, these were hardships because the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, although was nur, he was also human. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent as a human being, in the form of a human being. The answer to this is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's wisdom was that his messenger and his prophet, who delivers the message and shows the people how to live and act according to that message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, be from amongst them people and be a human, so that the people don't say on the Day of Judgment that, oh Allah, he was an angel, he could do that, he could perform salah in that manner, or he could reject all the idols and go against all the people of Makkah, he could do all of this because he was an angel. But we are human beings, we can't do that. And to eradicate such possible objections against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ensured that his prophet and messenger came in the form of a human being. And that is why in the verse where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ, it means that I am a human in the form of you people. Not that I am just like you, but that I am a human in your form. So I am a human being in your form. Yet the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was made from nur. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was made from nur. And many narrations clearly show that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had no shadow when he used to walk. Why would he have no shadow? There are wisdoms behind that. And first of all, Ala Hazrat Imam Ahmad Raza radiyallahu ta'ala says, ke tu hai saya nur ka, har azb tukra nur ka, saye ka saya na hota hai na saya nur ka. So the simple reason is that you are a shadow of Allah. Every limb of your body is a piece of nur, is a limb of nur. Saye ka saya nahi hota. A shadow doesn't have a shadow. A 3D object has a shadow. But a shadow itself does not have another shadow. So if you are the shadow of Allah, then you have no shadow. And then Allah Hazrat says, Nasaya nur ka. And light doesn't have a shadow. If the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is nur, then how would he have a shadow? Do you understand? So we have that light there, or we have light tubes there. They don't have a shadow of their own. They give other objects shadows. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not have a shadow because he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was nur. And not only that, his body was nur, then what about the shadow of the clothing that he used to wear? What about that? The ulama kiram say that anything that touched the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his nuraniyah was so great that nur was so powerful that it would eradicate any shadow of any clothing that he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to wear. And that is why when we talk about the night of Mi'raj, when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went above La Makkah, when he went into La Makkah and La Zama, you will see there that the body of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went out of Zaman and time. Whereas we as humans, we need Zaman and time. But the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left Makkah and Zama, and he went into La Makkah and La Zama. Yet not only that, the clothing that he was wearing, that also went with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in La Zama and La Makkah. So you can imagine how great the status of that clothing that he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to touch. So now the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has received wahi. Waraqa confirms with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that this is without doubt the angel of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah sent on the previous prophets. Now a certain period of time passes by, which is known as Fatratul Wahi, where the wahi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stops for a certain period of time, in order that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam grasps himself and prepares himself for the next wahi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has many friends that he used to have from before he received the wahi. From amongst them was Sayyiduna Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. He was a great friend of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam since his young age. Sayyiduna Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala had traveled with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam many a times to Syria. And he was a great friend of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was also honest in all his dealings. He was also a truthful man. And therefore he became a great friend of Sayyidina Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to talk about his friendship with Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu all throughout his life. Amongst them was Hakim ibn Hizam. He was also a friend of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Also from amongst them was Qais bin Sa'ib. And Qais bin Sa'ib, he was a friend of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who had also done many business dealings with him. He always used to say that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never argued with anyone. He never became angry when he was in doing business dealings. Even if somebody tried to deceive him, he would never become angry. He never argued with anyone in a matter of business. That was the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. From amongst them was Dimad bin Fa'laba al-Azdi. He was from amongst the friends of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam before he announced prophethood and before he received his wahi. All these friends used to meet with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And these friends of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, these are just four that I've mentioned. There were others as well. All of these were those who did not worship idols. They used to be against idol worship. They used to be for honesty. They used to be for the rights of women. They used to be against the burial of living children who were newly born as female. They were against women being burnt alive with their husbands when their husbands had died. These were those people, and that's why they had a great friendship with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. These people used to meet the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they used to give him comfort. That's what friends are for. And then came a time when Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam appeared in front of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam again. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's wahi came through Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam again. And the wahi was, Ya ayyuhal muddathir, qum fa'andhir. That oh, the one who clothes himself with a shawl, yani chadar pehenne wale, the one who clothes himself with a shawl, because the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after the first wahi said, Zammiluni, zammiluni, clothe me with a shawl. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this as a title of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then ordered him, Qum, now stand, fa'andhir, and now start making people aware of the wahi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this order was for the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam only to make his close friends and his family members aware of the hukum and the wahi that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had revealed upon him. And now Sayyida Khadija radiallahu anha, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anha, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anha, and Sayyidina Zayd radiallahu anha, they all accept Iman. These are the first people to accept Iman. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anha, he is the first to accept Iman from amongst the men. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself said that many people accepted faith when I passed the message of Allah to them, but they questioned me. They asked me questions. But Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala was the one that when I told him exactly what happened in the cave of Hira, without any hesitation, he immediately accepted everything I had to say. Yani Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu was such a close friend of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He knew the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam so well compared to others that he knew that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would not lie, he would not be joking. If he is saying this, then this has definitely happened without any doubt. And therefore he accepted Iman immediately. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also said that if I were to weigh the Iman of everyone who has accepted Iman with the Iman of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, then Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq's Iman would be heavier than the rest of the Iman of all others gathered together. That is how much Iman Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an had upon the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And from that moment, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu an became a complete servant of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and devoted himself, not only himself, his family, his wealth, his time, his strength, he gave everything to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Up to the extent that once Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu an had a dispute with Sayyidina Umar radiallahu an. When that dispute happened, when it was resolved, Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even after it had been resolved, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam became angry and he said that you people are arguing with my friend, this friend of mine who accepted me when all of you rejected me, this friend of mine who supported me when nobody supported me, this friend of mine who accepted Iman upon me without any hesitation. He said, ma nafani malu ahadin, ma nafani Abu Bakr bi malihi wa nafsihi, that none of you has ever helped me or supported me with their wealth as much as Abu Bakr has supported me with all of his wealth, and not only his wealth but his own life he has supported me. Then Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu said, ya Rasulullah, ma ana wa mali illa lak, ya Rasulullah, my life and my wealth is not but for you, ya Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Karu tere naam pe ja fida, na bas ek ja do jaha fida, do jaha se bhi nahi ji bhara, karu kya karoro jaha nahi. This was Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala in the court of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Inshallah we shall continue tomorrow. Assalamu alaikum.